Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording live, wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints football talk from our studios at the Meat House. With me today, L. Mims. Craig can't make it. I think he might be distraught. He's probably in the fetal position in his shower right now, just rocking back and forth over not necessarily the loss to the 49ers, but the fact that Tampa Bay lost and we still have hope. He's very upset about all the hope that we still have. And I don't know if I can blame him. Dale, how you doing today, my friend?
Yeah. It was a rough weekend, you know, with the double whammy, LSU losing, heartbreaker, and then the Saints coming out and getting shut out against the 49ers.
The Pelicans had a pretty rough outing over the weekend indeed, as well. So it was now our good friend B-Train, he'll point out that Tulane played pretty well. So, the weekend sports, the Louisiana sports did all right. It did. You got to really be happy for Tulane.
Yeah, man. Yeah, for sure. They saved a day for Louisiana. The only little bright spot we got here.
Yeah, right. At least we had something to give us a little Louisiana pride.
Yeah.
What do you have for us this week, Dale?
Well, again, the game with the 49ers. It was frustrating. It was a really frustrating game because, you know, I felt like we had some opportunities. We didn't take advantage of them. And it's like our first shutout in years, man. So definitely not used to seeing a zero on the scoreboard with this, and especially with being in scoring position a few times, you know. So,
yeah. You know, Dennis Allen doesn't get the benefit of doubt about much these days. But what was funny is I saw a lot of negative pushback over his comments about, I can't remember exactly what he said, but essentially he said, we did everything the way we wanted to do it.
Right.
And I think I took the comments, and again, the fans are just, I don't care what he could say. He could say, I love babies and apple pie, and, you know, It would still go bad.
It's gonna be a wrong answer.
But at the end of the day, man, I mean, look, the Saints put themselves in a position to be successful. I think they played the game the way they needed to play the game. The problem is that we just simply listen. Here's what I've done. I've just gotten to the point where I just accept that we are what we are.
Yeah.
And a team with a 35, 36-year-old Andy Dalton, you know, a banged up offensive line, a rookie who's our best skill player at this point, you know, at the wide receiver spot, just not going to beat a defense like that consistently enough. And then when you fumble the ball a couple of times, you know, especially one right at the goal line,
right?
You can't be successful that way. But the way that I reconcile this whole thing is that's what I expect now. Going into the season, my expectations were really high. And I think people are going to drive themselves crazy if they continue to. One person said, and I read this on Twitter, I believe, and they said, it's unacceptable. There's too much talent, as they were blaming Andy Dalton for everything. There's too much talent to lose.
Right.
And it's Andy Dalton's fault. And I'm paraphrasing. And I said, well, name this talent. And that's probably someone who fumbled, had a false start, or got called for some penalty at a crucial situation. So don't say it's Andy Dalton's fault. We have too much talent. The talent. Do you mean like Kamara, who with two fumbles, or our Wookiee Olave, who listen, I get it. To me, it really felt like it was a reception. But then you got to hold the ball. Hold the ball through the ground.
That's what it is.
Wasn't a big hit. He just fell down and dropped the ball. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's your too much talent who's making the mistakes.
Right.
So Andy is maybe incapable of giving you the big plays anymore. But at the end of the day, he didn't make any mistakes. He got the ball to the people who were supposed to make big plays, and they made mistakes. Yeah. So as much as I know we need a new quarterback, I'm not ready to blame this on Andy Dalton, because I think that's the low-hanging fruit people always go to, because they don't want to admit that Kamara, because you don't want to replace Kamara. He's too good, right? So then that's Andy's fault, you know? So
I mean, look, he's not a guy that's elevating a bunch of people around him, but – you know, he did not lose his game for us. So I will give him that for sure.
Well, and now I sound like I'm defending Andy Dalton, and that's what happens when you start pushing too far to one side. I have a tendency, let's bring it back to the middle where it's realistic here. Andy Dalton's not going to win us a bunch of games. But I heard, I'm constantly reading and listening and trying to have my finger on the pulse of what's going on in the Saints community. And the fact of the matter is we have two bad quarterbacks. Neither one of these quarterbacks, you can argue all you want. Andy's better than this guy. Jameis is better than Andy. At the end of the day, we have two quarterbacks that aren't going to really move the needle a whole bunch. You know, one gives you one thing, one gives you another thing, but neither one of them going to give you what we need to get somewhere. So.
Yeah. Well, let's break the game down. Let's look at the penalties and turnovers. Saints had six penalties for 46 yards, and San Francisco had seven penalties for 64 yards. We had two first downs via penalty. They had three, but the biggest thing all year has been turnovers, and we turned the ball over twice. To add to our total of turnovers for the season, ridiculous. Yeah. How can we be that team to turn the ball over so much, but never get a fumble to just jump into our hands or interception or something?
Okay. So, I do believe that there is some bad luck involved in this.
Yeah.
But there's another element, and I'm going to use this, and I may have sent this out in the in our text group. I remember back in the day when I was covering the Dicka teams.
Okay.
And people would be like, man, our defense is, man, it's solid. If we can figure out how to fix this this offense, man, but what they don't realize is that when you have a team that really can't score, it doesn't force the offense of the other team to try to do anything or to create or be, I can't think of the word I'm looking for, to really put themselves out there, to be aggressive. That's the word I was looking for.
Okay, all right,
And so what happens is you just go out there and you just play in it. What happens, it keeps the score kind of close.
Right.
But do you really feel like the 49ers at any point really like, oh, boy, them Saints, man, at any moment now? I don't think they really felt that way. Although I will also say at the end of the game, we had three long drives on our last three real possessions.
Right.
At any one of them. But it kind of felt like the 49ers, you know, they let you get this, they let you get that, and then when it's time to shut you down, you weren't going to score on them. Yeah. So what happens is your defense doesn't get as many opportunities. The quarterback gets the ball out of his hands quick. They don't push the ball downfield. They don't do the things that really put themselves in a position to turn the ball over. You don't hold the ball too long. You don't drop back seven steps. You follow what I'm saying?
Okay.
They'd rather punt because they know the chances you scoring on them are
really slim. You're going to mess up.
Yeah. So it's like, and nobody really wants to hear that, but I think, it has a lot to do with why we're not getting the turnovers. Plus, some bad luck. I mean, just, you know, we get an interception that could have been a game changer.
Right.
Alante Taylor. And it gets called back for really, you know. Yeah.
Right. Right. Terrible. it always seems like our penalties are really crippling. And just like the one you just brought up, that's a total game changer, in our opinion, because at this point in time, I mean, we're looking for any kind of spark, and we think we got that spark, and then they snuff it out. And
yeah, it fizzles out real quick.
Yeah. It's totally deflated to us fans, for sure. I'm really, really hoping the team don't feel as deflated as I was.
No, I mean, Dylan, I know you like to give us some structure here and you do a great job of it. So I'm kind of all over the place, but the fact of the matter is, you know, what deflates you is realizing that you don't have a chance.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, and I keep pointing this out to Craig, it's like, win or lose, I've already resigned myself to, this is just not a very good team. We're not doing anything. And if we do something, hey, man, that's great. So I'm not angry. I'm not upset. I'm not pissed off after the games. It's kind of what I expected. I thought I was pretty funny. I came up with this idea because this is totally, I had the game on, but I was doing some stuff and I had the TV on in my garage and I felt like I was that guy at the bar and his ex-girlfriend walks in. You're trying to act like you're not paying attention, but you really are. But then I don't care. And then you're like, I do care. And that's kind of how I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, if the Saints figure out a way to beat Tampa Bay, which, you know, they've had good luck with Tampa Bay. We played them tight the last time we played them. We are getting healthy. We should have Lattimore back.
Yeah.
If the Saints find a way to beat Tampa Bay, and I'm not trying to act like I expect it, but if they do, we only have one more tough game on the schedule, and we are in the driver's seat for a playoff spot. So, you know, Craig, I'm sorry, Craig, just threw something through the window, probably a beer bottle. But the fact of the matter is, why would you give up right now if you're anybody on the Saints team? You're like, man, you never know what could happen. Like, you have, as long as you have something to play for, you play hard, you know?
Hey, we're sending a big shout out to our new partners over at Sports Talk with Friends. We're going to be teaming up with them to bring you some different personalities and points of view. This season is going to be a lot of fun, so go over to their Facebook group, check them out, Sports Talk with Friends. Let's go to special teams, because this was a problem in us having zero on the scoreboard, right? Will Lutz missing his kick. But, you know, Blake Gillikin, he averaged 46 yards on his punts, two inside the 20. And, you know, Shaheed was okay with his punt returns, didn't kill us, right? He had a long of 11, so that's a little positive. I mean, but are you out here working out kickers? Because Will Lutz missed another kick.
Okay. So maybe if last year didn't happen, we're going to be tough guys. We will show him.
Yeah.
But after last year, like, I mean, he's still better than anything that we marched out on the field last year. So, but having said that, he has had some issues with some just, I mean, golly, man, you're talking about around 40 yards and in, you shouldn't be missing those, especially if you're Will Lutz, you know, the guy that we look at. But he's had some struggles in that area, but still paled in comparison, in my opinion. And maybe I'm just using my recency bias. I mean, I know it was awful last year. It cost us games.
Right.
And I guess it doesn't feel like it cost us a game yet this season that I can remember. And so, no, I mean, hell, if you want to do that just to, have a fire shot over the bow, maybe so. But I don't think that it's anything realistic that we're bringing in a kicker.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth it. Maybe you bring in somebody young next year to compete, you know, actually give them a shot, and, you know, we'll see what happens. But it's more training camp evaluation kind of stuff. So, you know how that burns us in the end anyway. So, because Adebo was a camp beast, you know.
And, right.
It is what it is. So, yep. All right, let's go to the offense. Time of possession looked pretty big in this one, with San Francisco possessing the ball 34 minutes and New Orleans having it for 25. But coming into this game, I mean, San Francisco was like the number one run D, so we should have seen this kind of coming, right, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who was expecting something else. That's what I said all week. I mean, and tell me a game where the Saints – well, first of all, it's easy because we haven't won that many games. So, it's like, tell me a game that we've won – where we didn't, I would go as far as saying dominate running the ball. Like, every game we won, it's because we went off running the ball Andy Dalton mm-hmm. had time, and he picked whatever was available to him, and it worked, and we ran the ball. When we cannot run the ball, we are not going to beat anybody passing. And that's why I went into this game. And I don't know if I said it on the last show or if I was just saying the text. I said, we won't score 10 points in this game. And I kind of expected it to be nothing throughout the entire game. And then one of those last Juwan Johnson touchdowns at the end of the game that, you know, I'm saying, maybe we go into the fourth quarter with 3 points. And that score and the shutout, that's a little bit misleading because there were several chances the Saints passed up a field goal. And I heard Dennis Allen say in the coach's show that they knew going into the game that they were going to need four downs. So they went in knowing that they were going to go for it on fourth down. I don't want to say surprised to hear that, but I'm like, okay, so he's saying it was a strategy. We knew we had to keep on schedule. And instead of saying we want to be in third down and three, they were like, hey, we want to be in fourth down and two so that we can go for it. And they went for it a couple of times. And unfortunately, it didn't work out. And we ended up with a goose egg on the scoreboard. But, you know, if the Saints would have played it by the numbers, and Lutz makes a field goal, you know, more than likely we lose the game 13-9. You know what I'm saying? So, but I also make the point. People are like, well, 49ers didn't play that well. What would happen if they'd have just cranked it up a little bit, knowing that, hey, we need a couple of points here.
Right. They actually need to score. Yeah.
I think that they, you know, and again, I'm not saying they would have blown the wheels off the Saints, but I do think they played conservatively and the numbers showed it that they played close to the vest and didn't feel they needed to score a bunch of points to beat the Saints.
Yep. Saints 4 of 11 on third down while San Francisco 5 of 13. And of course, we went 0 of 2 in the red zone. Huge, huge turnovers. Kamara, 2 fumbles. Just his stat line, 7 rushes, 13 yards, 6 receptions, 37 yards. Man, but these 2 fumbles in the red zone and critical times, I mean, but it's from your best player, like on offense. I mean, Craig thinks I'm nuts when I say that you got to sit him down, but this ain't the first time this year he's put the ball on the ground and lost it. You got to make a statement.
I believe I've read that he has 7 fumbles in his career, maybe, if that's right. And 4 of them are this season. Mm-hmm. And so, listen, I'm not defending him, but one of the things I was making this point about somebody else, but the fact of the matter is he fumbled that second fumble because he just absolutely refused. He knew he had to score. Yeah. Not because it was fourth down, but he knew that, look, this is the closest chance we can get. Yes. And so he was fighting for extra yards and he gets the ball knocked out. Again, not defending him, but I'll use this analogy. People were complaining, Traquan Smith, man, we got to get him out of here. And then they have a bunch of receivers out there that can't block. And now they're like, like that whole thing about like, we got to make a point and cut some guys and stuff. You know, it's like you cut them and then what? Okay. We put Traquan Smith on the bench. We bring in, what's the kid's name? White. He drops a ball and you're like, okay. Bring Smith back. You know, it's like they're your bottom end of the roster guys. You got to find something that they do good and help out. Now, I went way off the rails there, but what I'm saying
there's plenty of basketball coaches that do that, right? Like,
keeps popping out guys. Okay, I don't know. What are you going to do? You can take Kamara and sit him on. I mean, without Kamara, I mean, what do we have without Kamara? Do you make a point? I think you have to at some point, but by taking Kamara and sitting him, what is your point? Like, we'd rather punish you than win or try to win or be competitive?
12 turnovers this year. 12.
You know what I do?
Something's got to change.
I walk to the podium and I say, what Kamara did was unacceptable. And when we play Philadelphia, we are going to sit him, you know, because we ain't beating them anyway. So it'd be like a bye week. But no, you think I ain't sitting them against Tampa Bay. I'm not sitting them against Carolina or Atlanta. You know, I mean, he's going to be the difference between winning and losing. And I get your point. So I'm not trying to pick on you. But I just don't see how it's possible. I mean, that's just one of those things where you just say, what do you do? What do we do? You know?
Okay. Well, if it's not Kamara, then the other answer for the Saints offense is Taysom Hill. Now, he got 8 touches total, 1 pass, 6 runs, 1 catch. What happened here? Why was he totally ineffective?
Oh, same reason we talked about earlier. 49ers are not going to give that to you.
Yeah.
They're not. You know, they are tough. God dog it, because I'm talking about Kamara and thinking about Tampa Bay. Every time we play Tampa Bay, I almost do like, God, I just hope that Kamara doesn't get hurt. Because they have some mean, tough linebackers in Tampa Bay. Yeah. They got the same thing in San Francisco. And mm-hmm. so your running backs are going to take a pounding. And catch the ball. I mean, how many times did Kamara catch a ball and just get smacked? You know, and so it's like one of those things where, you know, like it's a good matchup. But Tampa Bay is going to be tough. The 49ers are not going to give you a whole bunch. Having said that, I just realized as I was talking, Taysom Hill has had success in Tampa Bay. I mean,
okay,
running those guys over. So, you know, for whatever it's worth, 49ers, they're not giving you a whole bunch in the run game. So, Ali, and it's the same thing. I don't know, man. I just said there's a good chance we can beat Tampa Bay, or there's a chance. I don't know what I said, and I don't. If I said good chance, I didn't mean it. There's a chance, like it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility. But
it's a division game.
That's another team you don't match up against well. It used to be we did. Now it's like, man, Vita Vea, those linebackers. You know, boy, better hope that Lattimore comes back this week. I don't know.
Well, we'll get to that for sure, because I believe you're getting on to something there with Lattimore. But let's stick with the offense. And
okay, my bad.
We have to talk about offensive line, because if not, Craig will come back and get us both. Now, Andy Dalton was sacked 1 time during this game. You know, we had struggles running offensively. I mean, what was your thoughts about
that? Does it count? Game? Does that sack count when Bosa was obviously offsides and the referee
was
like,
was offside. Oh my God, he was offside.
I mean, it wasn't even like, it wasn't even one of those things where he was just like a little bit and it was kind of close and you're like, huh?
Yeah.
That's what, I mean, he literally, you saw as soon as he took off, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. That was, and they didn't throw the flag and he got a sack and it's just like,
I'm sitting there looking at that stupid little window where the flag thing comes up, and I'm waiting on it to turn yellow, and it never turns yellow. What the hell?
Nothing. It's ridiculous, man. I haven't been one of those subscribers, although there's so much evidence out there that there's something going on with the referees. And some people have made the point, the fans have made the point, like, if you don't acknowledge this, and you're a fool. And maybe I am a fool, because I don't want to believe the NFL is like literally rigged, you know, to one degree or another. I'm not talking about full on, you know, WWE Wrestling Association. Sorry.
What?
but like, there has to be something to it. And that right there is just, how do you not call that? How do you not call that? You know,
I'm seriously believing there is some leadership out there. You know, they may not have, you know, just let it be known to everybody underneath. But anytime they have a chance to swing the other way, they will take the opportunity to swing the other way. So,
it's just the whole makeup call thing. At the end of the day, like the Lave non-catch.
Yeah.
Like you can't, we gave them a holding penalty. You can't take back a team that's struggling. But if they could find a way to score 14 points, they'd win. You take away the Lavi thing, you take away the Taylor thing. There is no makeup call that makes up for that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
A 10-yard holding penalty on the next 49ers offensive drive doesn't change those plays, because there's only so many of them the Saints are making right now.
Yeah.
And that was the only chance they had. Those two plays were the only chance the Saints had. I mean, I say that, man, but golly, then where Kamara fumbles, and you could have, again, though, we have to take into consideration, woulda, coulda, shoulda, how do the 49ers react? The 49ers might say, hey, we can't play conservative anymore. We start seeing more Deebo Samuels. We start seeing more of all the other playmakers they have, which we kept in check.
Yeah.
Would they really have been in check, or were they playing conservative?
So. Yeah, Jimmy G goes and puts on his Montana jersey that he was wearing the Monday night before, you know, and tears us up.
Look, I'm making a point that's basically diminishing the Saints' defensive efforts, but I will tell you early in the game, man, Jimmy G made some passes with a dude smacking him right in the face. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, I need to give the Saints more credit because this isn't just a complete 49ers we're toying with this thing. I'm just saying in general that a team can play more conservative. That doesn't mean that conservative isn't effective. You know what I'm saying? You still run the ball well. You're converting on third down. You're just not really trying to light up the scoreboard. You're just trying to be,
just trying to get the win. So, yeah.
Trying to get the win. and playing that close to the vest, you know that who's more likely to make a mistake? The 49ers and all their players are the Saints and, Dalton and, a rookie wide receiver. And you wouldn't think Kamara, but now it's like, oh, give it to Kamara. He'll fumble it, I don't really mean that. I'm just being mad. It's like a girlfriend. I'm talking bad about her right now, but I really love her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Trust me, Dave. I've got him on two fantasy teams, and whoo, it's tough, Dave. Yeah, whoo. It's tough, I'm telling you.
This segment brought to you by BS and Beer Podcast. Twice the entertainment, half the calories.
All right, let's go to that defense we were just talking about. Now the Saints defense is ranked 11 in the NFL right now. We did have a bright spot with the sack from Shy Tuttle. What did you think about the overall run D then? With them holding Elijah Mitchell to like 7 carries for 35 yards.
Well, who'd you say that Mitchell kid they brought in after everybody got hurt?
Yeah, Elijah Mitchell, that was the leading rusher.
The thing about it is, okay, so now I'm kind of contradicting myself, but I did come off of it a little bit earlier. The Saints did play very well on defense. Mm-hmm. And I've told you, I said this in a message, Craig gives me a hard time about it. And I look at what the difference is between this year and last year and how the significant difference in the way the Saints play the run. And I look at Tyrann Mathieu, and I know he's a whipping post for me now. But before, you always had a guy from all the way back to Vaccaro and Bell and then last year with Jenkins. Yeah. And now we have a guy that not only is not aggressive in stopping the run or playing the run, he's more than likely going to shy away from the contact. And those little things are like big plays. Like, the difference in a ball game is a guy running up in there, making a tackle for 1 yard loss per se, or 1 yard gain, stopping a big play. Now that team's got to throw the ball. And all of a sudden, cause that's something you take into consideration, right? Later on in the game, they're not even trying to run because they didn't have any success earlier. Once they get a little success and they keep running, then they wear you down a little bit and then they keep running some more. And so it's a fine line between being very successful, not very successful. And I can't help but feel like part of that has to do with, who we trotting out there in that secondary, who's not quite as aggressive against the run as, because who else is different? Everybody else is pretty much the same.
Well, do you remember earlier in the season, it looks like they played Marcus May more in that role down low in the safety.
Right.
And now that seems to have flipped, I guess since, May comes back from his injury and everything. I wonder why that change.
Well, I didn't really think about that a whole bunch, Dale.
It could be because of the missed tackles in the secondary due to the passing game, because we missed a bunch of tackles earlier in the season, and maybe that was the need for the swap.
Well, we could speculate. I really didn't even think much about that, but you're absolutely right. I'd be interested in seeing the snap breakdown from before injury to after injury. It could also be a situation. This is something that fans, including myself, have a hard time realizing and acknowledging, because we're not standing out there. Just because a guy comes back from injury does not mean that he's healed and he's 100%. Yeah, so you have a guy out there standing with a lacerated kidney, 2 weeks ago, and now he's like, I can cover this guy, but the chances of me coming up and laying some lumber on him, I'm not doing it. And who knows what physical condition May's in? And that could be why the Saints said, hey, look, we got him back. We need him back, but we can't be as aggressive with the way we use him. So they swapped that role, and now you have Mathieu more in the box. And Mathieu has always been, while I don't consider him a big tackler, he's the kind of guy that, like, almost like that little hybrid linebacker, which is almost amazing to say. But he makes those plays in the intermediate game by being savvy and knowing where to go, understanding the playbook, understanding what offenses are trying to do. Maybe he doesn't have that big range on the back end. You know what I mean? So that's where he makes his plays. But where it hurts you is if teams are running the ball on you. And it's, again, this is how teams are set up. If you've got hypothetically the 49ers run defense, you might be able to use a guy like Tyrann Mathieu because you won't be able to expose his weakness. All of a sudden, the Saints are struggling against the run, and all of a sudden, it's time for Dave to beat up on Tyrann. He's a weakness now because all of a sudden we can't stop the run.
Yeah, man.
Well, I say that as in this entire year because they played the run well on Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Caden Ellis. Another performance, double-digit tackles, 14. He's really, really been filling in nicely for Werner. I couldn't really add so much more from him, especially what, a 7-round pick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about him is so I'm saying this big picture-wise because I think to myself, Davis is getting up there in age.
Right.
Huge contract. And there's a world where he's not even on this team next year. Yep. And if they're confident in Ellis. And they have two young linebackers, thing about it is Ellis is not his contract's up. So there might be some teams out there saying, we could use a guy like that. Now, here's the element. A lot of the reasons why he's been behind, hasn't played a whole bunch, is injuries.
Yeah.
That's one of his biggest issues in college.
Yeah.
So he's kind of a guy that's been struggling with the injuries and, let's give him, I don't expect him to get a huge contract, but let's give him a contract, $8 million a year. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden he goes back to being an injury guy. You're like, God dang it. But I guess that's the GM's job is to take those risks. Risk analyst, analysis.
Yeah,
and figure out what's best, and you end up with a guy. You pay him, and he doesn't play a whole bunch, and it's a struggle. So,
but if I'm not mistaken, we've got to make a decision on him as far as contract is concerned. Because
that's what I'm saying is at the end of the season, it's not like, hey, we got us two young guys under contract. No, you have to re-sign them. And I do believe that if he continues to play like this, there's going to be other teams who are like, I think we can use a guy like that. Now you're bidding against somebody else.
Yeah. But I mean, how much is a linebacker worth on the open market? I guess we're gonna find out.
Right. Well, okay, he's not DeMario Davis in his prime. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So, the way he's been playing, Dale, this is not a guy who's doing pretty good and holding his own. This is a guy who's like he's making more plays than DeMario Davis. Now, keep in mind too, by position. That position at the weak side linebacker is a volume tackle position. So sometimes that gets lost.
And
I'm playing this receiver. I'm going to get more touches just by the nature of the position. I'm playing X as opposed to Z. You know what I'm saying? And the point is that some positions are just by the nature of the position going to get more sacks. I can't remember the guy's name, but the Saints had a defensive end a long time ago. It was nobody we got from another team. And they put him in that elephant position and end up with like 12 sacks. I can't even remember. But the point is they designed the defense for him to get sacks.
Right.
So, if you're a defensive tackle, nobody's drawn up plays to get Onyemata some sacks. You know what I mean?
And we're assuming that this play can translate over to the middle linebacker position.
Exactly.
So, it's just what fans do, I guess,
Right. Well, but no matter how you slice it, it's good to know that you have some good depth and you have somebody when we're talking about we're at that rebuild stage where, depending on how you define it, maybe it's not rebuild, but at some point you're going to be changing some things up. We're looking for a young quarterback. You're going to be transitioning and it's good to know you have pieces. You have more pieces than you thought you had. It's like, we got to cut Davis for salary cap reasons. Well, we're not going with somebody who can't play. Matter of fact, you brought up somebody else.
Maybe that answer is Zach Bond, a.k.a. Bane. Okay? Because this guy had four tackles, just showed up in the defense playing. I mean, we gotta respect pain, right?
Now is not the time for fear. That comes later.
Yeah.
That's right. That's Craig's favorite. I don't know, not hero, but whatever it is. It's his
favorite guy. Villain.
Love,
yeah.
Quote Bane. Thing about Bond, man, I was joking. I don't know why we don't tweet this stuff out, our conversations in our message group. And I said, oh, this is impossible. You know, a guy who plays linebacker, who switched from defensive end and took him 4 years to develop into a stand-up linebacker in space, that could never happen to, you know, and it was all alluding to Zach Bond. And this is what I've been saying. And don't get me wrong, I've kind of given up on him myself. But yeah. Just show that, man, you don't just go from college defensive end. Man. Oh, well, he only weighs like 250. So, oh, yeah, we make him a linebacker. I mean, that takes years of practice. To say that you take a guy who played defensive end, hand in the dirt, make him a linebacker and he's good in 2 years, that would kind of diminish how complex playing linebacker is. And it is one of the most complex positions that you can play on defense.
Yeah.
If not the most complex.
Yep,
so exactly. maybe next year we like have all three of them battling it out for like who's going to get playing time, man. Three young stud linebackers.
That would be nice if they actually turn out to be something, though.
Maybe it's wishful thinking.
Yeah, we'll see about that one.
yeah, okay. I got a little ahead of my skis there.
BS and Beer Media is sponsored by Purple Valley Farms Marijuana. We got that good. Good.
All right. Well, let's get to our pick'em. And it's going to be a light pick'em today, Dave, because people are on bye week. So, but hey, in the standings, Rob 22278, still number one. I've dropped to number four. I forgot to put in some picks this week. You know, I was concerned about smoking some turkey and stuff like that, you know.
Yes, it looked good too.
kind of threw me off a little bit. So I see you went down to number five, which is not bad.
Well, I had an awful week, bro. One week, I think I had two. But I'm sure that one went away because it had to be my lowest.
Yeah. And old Craig, number 10. Still top 10, Craig. Still top 10.
Yeah, still top 10, Craig. Don't be mad.
All right. Well, only game besides our game we're going to pick is going to be Pittsburgh at Atlanta. And Atlanta is a 1.5-point favorite. But who you got with this one, Dave?
I tell you what. Let me tell you something. I've watched Pittsburgh play a couple of times. I have a buddy that lives down the street that he's a big Pittsburgh fan, and we've been hanging out watching the games together.
Right.
And, you know, Pittsburgh's kind of what I thought we would be.
Yeah.
Well, no, what I thought we'd be better than, which is you got a really good team with a quarterback that's trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the Saints ran into, is a good team that doesn't have a quarterback that's great, but they got a lot of good players everywhere else. Mm-hmm. And so I think they have a shot at beating Atlanta. I shouldn't say it like that. That's like Atlanta's some kind of big deal to beat. Matter of fact, they lost their tight end.
Yeah.
I forget they lost somebody else important, but they've managed to beat Washington. Yeah. I'm like, wait, you're not supposed to call them that. No, it's the other thing you're not supposed to call them. You can call them Washington. But you know, I mean, the Atlanta's not a bad team. And we probably way over dismissing Atlanta, right? Because
it's Atlanta. Like, oh,
well, that's Atlanta. We're the Saints. And the reality of it is it's probably more like Tampa Bay with a slight edge over Atlanta with a slight edge over us.
Yeah.
At this point. But man, we have been getting healthy, right? And maybe so anyway, back to the point. I'm gonna go ahead and pick Pittsburgh, not because I necessarily think that's what's gonna happen, but that's what I want to happen.
Okay.
It's a toss up.
Yeah. I will take Pittsburgh plus the 1.5. I liked the confidence I'm seeing from the quarterback. I mean, Pickett threw some nice balls to Pickens this weekend. And
it's your guy.
Yes, that's my dude there. You know, I was
that's right.
Pickens. So, yeah, I'm going to roll with that, man. All right. So we got Tampa Bay versus New Orleans. And just looking at some of the details here. The Saints are last place, minus 14 turnover ratio, while Tampa Bay is plus 2 in a turnover ratio. Their offense ranked 15 in total yards, and their defense is ranked 9th overall. They're 26th in total possession, while we are 29th. So that kind of lends you to believe it's going to be a closer game as far as possessing the ball. Leonard Fournette was out the previous game with the injury, but they have their rookie White, and he looked pretty good. I think he's a little bit more dynamic than Fournette is right now. And so even if Fournette plays, I believe you're going to see a lot of White in this game. I am curious to see if Lattimore is going to come back to play. This is his Super Bowl game because he loves to play against Mike Evans. We love to watch it. So hopefully we can get that out there and get some more fighting going on. Let's see what ends up happening here. What's your take on this one, Dave?
Well, like I said, I do believe we can beat Tampa Bay. I believe Tampa Bay does a lot of things that fits into what we do, and matchup wise, Tampa Bay's offensive, I don't know, I want to call it a scheme, but you know, with Tom Brady, it maximizes what we do in the pass rush. Still have a really banged up offensive line, but if you pay attention to what Brady does, and he's been doing it in every game, this is kind of exactly what I said, kind of alluded to with the 49ers playing us, is he drops back and he throws the ball quick. And if it's a 3-yard gain, then he takes his 3-yard gain. And after three plays, if he gains 9 yards, and they walk out there and they punt and they say, okay, and they keep doing that until at the end of the game, if you can't force them to turn the ball over, if you can't get a little lead and stop him from doing that, meaning put him in a position where they can't just take the 3-yard pass. They have to get a first down. They have to score. And that's where the Saints are struggling, because they're not turning the ball over. So, meaning defensively, they're not getting turnovers. So as long as Tampa Bay sits in their comfort zone and just, well, if we only pick up 3-9 yards, then we punt, you know, and let's see the Saints can do any better. Saints have to try to find a way to get, you know, get some points on the board early or get a turnover and put more pressure on Brady than just sitting back and saying, I'm okay with punting. Yeah. And that to me is the key to the game, is we have to put pressure. And I'm trying to over-explain this to say, I don't mean pass rush pressure. I'm talking about game pressure, that he can't just say, I'm fine with not getting a first down. I'm fine with punting the ball. No, we have to get him to the point where he says, I have to make some plays. And that's when mistakes happen. That's when he holds the ball too long. That's when the Saints can get after him and maybe create a turnover.
The offense has to create some pressure to force Tampa's offense to want to score and need to score.
Yes.
Or force them into some mistakes. So, that's great for sure. Brady loves the middle of the field, loves it. And we always had, you know, CJ GJ to cover that slot. And just looking at their last game, Chris Godwin went off for 12 receptions, 110 yards and a touchdown. 13 targets this guy's got. So Brady's peppering that middle of the field. And if we don't have an answer in that slot for Godwin, he's going to tear us alive. What would you do to combat him in the slot this game?
Well, it's not just Godwin. You know, you have Jones is healthy and seems to be playing pretty well. I mean, thing about old players, I always say, it's not that they can, it's like that old Toby Keith song. You know, I ain't good as I used to be, but I'm good once. You know, I forget how it goes. But the point is that they can still play. It's just maybe not the whole season. Maybe they get banged up quicker. Maybe they don't recover quicker. But that don't mean they can't play no more. So if he's healthy and if, you know, he hasn't played a whole bunch, so he's probably fresh for, and that's the scary part. Him, Godwin, you know, Evans, and now they have all their receivers. That's what starts getting scary. Mm-hmm. How do we solve that problem? Well, we got healthy on defense, and I'm expecting Lattimore to play, so that's going to help. And I don't think the Saints are going to, like we always say, oh, you know, let's get the rookie on him. Let's get Taylor on him. And you know, you're hoping for Matt. But at the end of the day, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think that you'll probably see Roby in the slot and is, you know, going to go with the experience. To me, as long as they get 19 off the field, I do not want to see Harris on the field anymore. I can't handle it. I just can't handle it.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid we're going to end up seeing. They got Harris in the slot. My goodness. Yeah, you're right, Dave. But I do remember Roby having like a concussion or something like that, or maybe being evaluated for concussion.
That's so right.
I don't know for sure if it was deemed a concussion or not, but I guess we're going to find out.
So
injury report.
I don't know if you're going to have to go back and cut all this out. I'm joking, but the PJ Williams got injured pretty early in that game too. So
that's true too.
Oh, we're getting healthy, Romero says.
You know? Guys come in, guys go out. That's how it is. Man.
But I always get a kick out of that because people are like, oh, it's week four and we're banged up. But man, you know, we should get those guys back in 4 weeks. Like nobody else is going to get hurt during that period. We get those guys back and then we're good to go. We're 100%, you know?
Yep, that's right. All right, man, let's pick this game. We got New Orleans at Tampa Bay. Tampa is a 3.5-point favorite. Who you got?
I literally want to pick the Saints because this would be the it ain't no magic story. It would be the garbage story of the garbage team that overcame one game and then ended up, well, because watch, the Saints will win on Sunday and turn around and lose to Carolina. So my point is nah, I'm not falling for this. If they do it, I'll be the happiest guy out there, but I am not. I'm sorry for all you people who listen, probably get upset because I think Craig is probably the better pulse of the Saints fan in general than I am, because I'm more like, there's nobody who loves the Saints more than I do, but I just get to the point where I think this is how I am in life, you know? I can't control that. I'm not going to get all worked up. And the easiest way not to get worked up over it, you know, is just forget about it. Just move on. Just, you know, and so I try to act like I don't care. And so, quite frankly, nobody realistically can say the Saints should win this game. So for me to pick the Saints would mean I'm just hoping for something to happen that is unusual. So I'm going to go with Tampa Bay. And I think that the Saints will play them tough. And I think they could win the game, but I don't think they will.
See, you know this latest Fansville commercial where they go to the guy's house and was like, we're concerned about you because, you know, they had that loss. And the guy's like, yeah, they're kids and it's a ball.
Yeah,
not that important. Yeah.
Yes, that's one. That's hilarious.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and pick Tampa minus the 3.5. Yeah, because I want to actually win pick 'em. So that's why I'm about to pick that.
Oh, man. So, but I don't want nobody to get mad. I mean, I'm hoping they win. I really do. And it's just that if you go in the game waiting for something to happen and you spend the whole game and you score 0 points, you will literally shoot yourself in the face. Okay, maybe not literally. I always pick on people who use the word literally too often. You'll want to shoot yourself in the face. You know, and you know, like there's just no point. Let's just, I'm a low expectations. And if they over deliver, then I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Over deliver. That's what I want to see.
Yep.
All right, man. Well, that's going to wrap it all up for us this week.
Is that all the show we have, Dale?
That is all it. Well, we don't have a Craig inspirational speech this week.
I know. So usually we get some kind of bang thing going on here. But anyway, for the absent Craig Wright, Dale Mims, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast crew, and we'll talk to you next week after the Saints overcome all kinds of adversity and prove us wrong and beat Tampa Bay. We'll talk to you later.
Who that?
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us bs and beer@icloud.com.